is back. And lots of things happened while you all were in London town.
A foggy day in London town.
The signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
Hey, kids, come here. I want to tell you something.
Frankie and Johnny, sweetheart.
He's my boy.
My boy, I love
to be. Oh, yeah.
And we
go. Yeah, everybody let the good time roll.
I really love my guy.
Frankie was my guy.
Then came... That was long, long ago.
Now, who was that? Sounded Greek to me.
He's in heaven with the angel.
The shrine of St. Cecilia.
Too bad. Why couldn't he have stayed around long enough to enjoy the Beatles?
Dig those crazy gondoliers.
So long now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're off to see the Beatles.
We're off to see the Beatles.
We're off to see the Beatles.
My heart at ease.
This is the Bicentennial Report, and we're the Rocket News Team, going back in our time machine to 1776.
I've just landed in England at the Castle of King George. England is about to go to war with the rebellious American colonies. King, what is your main concern at this time? What about the revolution? Aren't you at least a little bit worried?
I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.
What do you have to say to the colonists trying to start a new country? What was the Queen's reaction?
She packed my bags last night.
Is she home now? The Queen? Her Majesty? What should I call her? Is there anything you'd like her to do now?
Here I am in the colonies. I've got George Washington with me. George, what's that you're drinking? And tell me, what inspired you to start this revolution? Who have you recruited for your army? What kind of training did you put them through? George, these men look awful. What kind of army is this?
It's a little bit funny.
And so we follow these brave men through the entire campaign. Washington crossing the Delaware. The Delaware crossing Washington. Paul Revere's famous ride. Paul, why did they pick you for this job? And the little-known incident where Benedict Arnold tries to hijack Paul Revere's horse. Finally, the war is over.
Now America must select its first leaders. George, why do you think you should be elected president? By the way, you've been away from home a lot. How are you and Martha getting along?
She packed my bags last night.
Sorry to hear that. Why is she upset with you? Here comes Ben Franklin. Hey, Ben, do you think maybe someday you'll be president?
I'm gonna be high as a kite by then.
We'll be back in 100 years for the tricentennial. Y'all did a great job. Take the century off.
This is Don Kluckreich. We interrupt this program to bring you a special news interview with the first black American president of the United States. We go direct to Washington, D.C. with reporter Lynn Sayadaw.
Thank you, Don. I'm here with Jimmy Huntfort. With the cheers from the many black Americans you hear in the background, we're talking to President Theodosius Jones, Jr., the first black president of the United States. Tell me, Mr. President, how do you feel now that you're the first black president?
I feel sanctified.
When you take office next year, what will you do?
Get down, get down. Get down, get down.
President Jones, what will you do to make this a better country?
Give more power to the people.
Mr. President, why do you think that you were elected over your opponent?
I got soul. I'm super bad.
Mr. President, what did you say to your many voters during your campaign?
And it's you.
What campaign gimmick did you use to get the voters heated up? When the news broke that you had become president, what were all the people doing?
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
We were told, Mr. President, that your wife phoned you after the election results were in. What did she have to say?
Tell me something good.
When you told her you had become the first American black president, how did she feel?
Sanctified.
How did your political party feel when you won?
Sanctified.
Tell me, Mr. President, what was your occupation before campaigning for office?
Shoeshine boy.
Typical story from shoeshine boy to president. What do you like to do in your time of leisure? President Jones, who will be the vice president?
Red hot mama from Louisiana.
Being the first black president, how secure do you feel? President Jones, all the ladies will be wondering who the first lady is now. What's your wife's name?
Your lady mama lies.
At this present time, where is Lady Mama Lies?
She's gone.
Just a few more questions, Mr. President. What few words do you have to say to all the American people concerning the disorganization of our country?
Let's figure it out.
Mr. President, how do you actually account for your success of being America's first black president?
That's the way.
And finally, Mr. President, how do you feel now that your interview is over?
I feel sanctified.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The exclusive interview with the first black president of the United States. This has been Lynn Sayadol with Jimmy Huntford, Washington, D.C. Don?
Don Klukite here, returning you to your favorite radio station.
Here is a special election report.
Mr. President, have you any statement?
I am releasing my official birth video.
We are live in a remote location with ancient alien theorist George Snuffleupagus.
This is a direct result of extraterrestrials tampering with our DNA.
Thank you.
We are here in the woods where an extraterrestrial has just been seen.
I'm Mitt Romney.
What are you here for?
Vacation, all I ever wanted.
And what did you do on your own planet?
I was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar.
One last question. What do extraterrestrials really want here?
They want American music.
Wait, there's an announcement. The election will be decided on America's Got Talent. We are here with the candidates. Mitt Romney, what is the one thing you want to tell the American people? President Obama, what is the one thing you want to tell the American people?
For me, it isn't over.
Well, there you have it, and now the candidates will perform live.
America, America, God shed his...
It's a no from me, just because we don't want to prolong this.
I'm so in love with you.
Don't worry. I cannot sing like you.
I hit the buzzer on him because I have to be fair to everyone.
The Secret Service has arrived with several beautiful women. Now we are back in the woods.
Mitt Romney.
Spaceship is on its way to pick him up.
Barack Obama
is shouting something.
Look.
Cook,
Mitt Romney,
and Barack Obama
are flying on a bike to the landing spot. How do you make a bike fly?
Trans like us, baby, we were born to run.
The ship has landed. The door is opening. Who is that coming out of the ship?
I'm sexy and I know it.
We're going aboard the spaceship. It's taking off. Wait, where are we going?
Go,
let me out! Wait!
Sorry.
We are live at the White House speaking with the president about Reaganomics. Mr. President, you have been through some tough times during this recession. How do you see yourself now?
I'm still the same old me.
And sir, now that you have been in office for a while, how would you describe your job?
Still doing time in a honky-tonk prison. Still doing time where a man ain't forgiven.
And what should the people do to keep up with the changes at the White House?
Listen to the radio.
Mr. President, why do you think the American people voted you into office?
For all the wrong reasons.
And sir, what made you give up on your acting career in Hollywood?
Because I was busted.
Sir, when someone gave you an offer to go into politics, what was your answer?
Well, it's high time to get back on my feet.
Sir, your first day in office, you said,
Lord, I hope this day is good.
And Mr. President, when you saw you had a tough day ahead of you, you said,
all I need is round the clock loving.
And Mr. President, in your opinion, when do you think the economy will get better?
Any day now.
Right now, Mr. President, a lot of people are hurting from your cutbacks. What have you done to help them?
I just cut myself.
And Mr. President, how do you plan to work on this?
Don't you know, step by step.
Now, Mr. President, we heard that you spoke with Britain, and what did they have to say about the Argentinians that invaded the Falklands?
Someone's gonna get hurt before you're through. Someone's gonna pay for the things you do.
Finally, what do you have to say about Washington, D.C.?
I'm tired of this dirty old city.
And how are you planning to leave the city?
I'm going hurting.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. John Cameron Swayback here, along with the gentlemen of the press, welcoming you to Face the Issues. As our guest this morning, we have the President of the United States in his first televised news conference after the election. The President is now entering the room. In behalf of the people of the United States and myself, congratulations on your victory, and good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, America, how are you?
Mr. Nixon, how long would you like to be president?
Till the moon deserts the sky.
Hi, team. Hi, everybody. Hi, America. Sydney here again. Mr. President, you brought Mr. Kissinger with you. Mr. Kissinger, what would you like to say to the American people?
Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman.
Oh, come on now, Mr. Kissinger. Can't you say something besides, gotta get a woman. Gotta get a woman.
You know I love the ladies. Love to have my fun.
President Nixon, you've heard how Mr. Kissinger has been carrying on. Do you have anything you'd like to say to him?
We gotta get you a woman.
Mr. Kissinger, my friend, the people of my country admire you. They would like to know, what is the one word that explains that smile on your face?
There's not another word that says so much, because that four-letter word means happiness.
Mr. President, you've won this election by a large margin. Tell me, sir, how do you explain such popularity?
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
What do you think Mr. McGovern will say now that he has lost the election to you?
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents.
President Nixon, when you got off the plane in China and came down the stairs, sir, and met with the Chinese delegates, all of them were laughing. What did you say to them, sir?
My name is Sue. How do you do?
President Nixon, if the Godfather said he wanted to help you, what would you say?
don't dare refuse him, because you know the price you pay.
Mr. President, Miss Rhonda has just walked into our studio, sir. Is there something you'd like to ask her?
Let me ask you to your face. Do you think you love me?
Miss Rhonda, honey, it's been rumored that you really like President Nixon. What do you like about him?
Something.
Well, Miss Rhonda, anytime you meet President Nixon, what does he do?
He reaches out, and he takes my hand, and he squeezes it and says...
Well, what do you say, Mr. President?
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa! What's new, pussycat?
President Nixon, let me ask you this time. How long would you like to be president?
Till all the seas run dry.
Miss Rhonda, getting back to you... What do you do when you go to Hanoi?
Preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good.
Well, then tell me, Miss Rhonda, let's not beat around the bush. What propaganda does Hanoi want you to spread to the American people?
There is no such thing as Dr. Seuss, Disneyland and Mother Goose.
Miss Rhonda, I can see through you, sweetie. I know you don't like our president. So answer just one question honestly. When do you think you will start liking him?
When the moon is in the
Mr. President, I don't like the way she speaks to you. Can I stick up for you, honey?
Just cause her got them little skinny legs. You know that ain't no way to do.
Oh, your brown eyes are so sparkly when you're angry.
Now tell me, sir, if Jane Rhonda were to leave this country this moment today, what would you think, sir?
This is my beautiful day.
President Nixon, tell me just one more time, honey, how long would you like to be the president?
Till the tropic sun grows cold.
President Nixon, sweetie, is there anything else you'd like to say to Miss Rhonda?
I had a hammer in the morning.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Kissinger. And thank you, Miss Rhonda. This is Sidney Bruntley for the whole team here at the studio saying thank you, America. Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President.
If you love me, let me know. If you don't, then let me go.
Sir, many Americans are calling for your resignation. Do you plan to step down?
I'm never ever gonna quit, cause quitting just ain't my stick.
But why are you so anxious to remain president?
I just don't wanna be lonely.
And what do you feel is the one thing that's keeping you in office? Mr. President, Chief Prosecutor Wajorski has again demanded the tapes. What is your reply?
I haven't got time for the pain.
If he succeeds in getting the tapes, what will be the most damaging information?
A very special love song.
Here's Mr. Trixon's press secretary, Ron Beigler.
Been a hard day, yes, it has been a hard day.
After his recent problems, how would you describe your boss?
Fastest thing on 2 feet.
And what do you feel is the real cause for possible impeachment?
Painted ladies and a bottle of wine, mama.
With me now is Vice President Board. You've been traveling around the country in defense of the president. What does it take to regain his support?
A little bit, a little bit of light.
Once again, the president.
If you love me, let me know. If you don't, let me go.
Looking back on the whole mess, how did you feel when you first realized you were in trouble?
I stood alone in the cold gray dawn, and knew I'd lost my morning sun.
And what kind of advice did you give your top aides at the time?
My advice is that you leave this place, never come back and forget you ever saw my face.
And what was their excuse for not reporting the cover-up sooner?
Every time I tried to tell you, the words just came out wrong.
In closing, Mr. Trixon, what will you do if you're found guilty?
If I ever get out of here, thought of giving it all away.
Thank you, Mr. President. Copies of this record can be obtained, but the tapes are not available.
This is news. I'm Larry Waters.
I'm David Gate.
The top of the news, the leak at Watergate. In our studio, some of the principals of Watergate.
Mr. Gordon Libby, how do you feel about Watergate?
I've been in a right place, but it must have been the wrong time.
Well, who gave you the orders?
There, Leroy Brown.
What are you getting out of this, Mr. Libby?
Mr. John Bean, you were the president's chief counsel. Can you tell our listeners what he thinks of you now?
You talk too much, you worry me to death.
It's rumored around Washington that you're changing your viewpoint. What is it now?
No more Mr. Nice Guy. No more Mr. Clean.
Mrs. Martha Wichell, how do you feel about your husband's political downfall?
In bitter bad.
Mr. Wichell, what is your opinion of Mrs. Wichell?
No woman like the one I've got.
Mrs. Wichell, what is your opinion of yourself?
I am woman, hear me roar.
Mr. L. Patrick Frey, how would you describe all those little buggers?
I'm an extremely dangerous.
Could you tell us how they got in Watergate?
Get in through the bathroom window.
Since you're no longer FBI chief, do you intend to stay in law enforcement?
I'd rather drive a truck.
We asked the president, who is going to help him now?
Big Bad John.
Mr. John Donnelly, why did you change from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party?
I can see clearly now.
Well, Mr. President, what was your advice to Mr. Donnelly?
We understand your Washington days will be very full.
A cowboy's work is never done.
Do you think Watergate has destroyed our democratic system?
Watergate, don't stop, no show.
Mr. President, just what is your position?
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
The general consensus of Watergate.
Merci, public en délire. Je sais que je suis bon. Je ne vous remercie pas pour vos applaudissements, car bien entendu, je les mérite. Mais je voudrais vous dire une chose avant de commencer.
Advienne que pourra, advienne que pourra.
Exactement, c'est à vos risques. Et comme président du Grand Conseil de paix pour l'État du Québec, je voudrais vous rappeler ceci.
Le bonheur, c'est quand on s'aime.
En premier lieu, j'aimerais demander à son honneur, le maire Johnny LeFlag, s'il voudrait bien répondre à quelques questions de la part de l'auditoire. Premièrement, vous, monsieur, vous, devant moi, vous avez quelque chose à dire à monsieur le maire.
Ça peigne pas, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ça peigne pas, yeah, yeah.
Un instant, un instant. Un à la fois, voyons. Pardon? Ah, vous avez quelque chose à ajouter, vous là. Vous dites que vous avez fait application pour devenir gondolier dans le futur métro. Mais, monsieur le maire, qu'est-ce que vous pensez de cet individu? Nous allons maintenant demander à M. Réal Lefouette ce qu'il a dit à M. Bomson lors de la scission du parti.
Ce soir, je vais te faire pleurer. Ce soir, je vais t'annoncer qu'il faut nous séparer sans un au revoir.
Et que vous a-t-il répondu?
Depuis que tu es parti, je me noie dans le whisky. Oh.
Et vous, monsieur le Fouette, comment vous sentez-vous maintenant?
Je suis libre.
Vive la liberté.
Merci, merci beaucoup, monsieur le Fouette. Nous avons un grand nombre de personnalités ici ce soir présents. Sur cette tribune et dans la salle, à mes côtés, M. Marcel Chaput. Monsieur Chaput, nous avons reçu 1 000 $ d'un auditeur qui veut que vous repreniez votre jeûne. Qu'en dites-vous?
N'aie pas peur.
Enfin, je ne me tuerai pas pour si peu, va.
Et c'est au tour cette fois du chef de l'opposition au Parlement du Québec, M. Daniel Lebleu, à qui nous demandons ce qu'il pense de l'avenir de son parti.
Le temps passe, tout se passe.
Mais pensez-vous sincèrement, cher monsieur, que votre parti a des chances de revenir au pouvoir?
Rien n'est impossible! Rien n'est impossible!
Merci, merci mille fois, monsieur Lebleu! Et maintenant, souhaitons la bienvenue à notre premier ministre, M. Jean Lerouge. Il s'approche du micro. Écoutons ce qu'il va dire au peuple du Québec.
Tu m'as voulu, tu m'as eu, tu m'as choisi, c'est tant pis.
Oui, c'est vrai, M. Lerouge, mais nous sommes quand même très fiers de vous. Incidemment, comment vous sentez-vous malgré tous les problèmes que vous devez résoudre?
Je me sens bien!
En terminant, M. Lerouge, auriez-vous un conseil à donner à tous les jeunes du Québec?
Ensemble, courons dans la vie. Laissons l'espoir guider nos pas. À qui fait bon voguer ainsi? Bientôt l'univers nous suivra.
Eh bien, messieurs, dames, c'est tout. L'Assemblée est maintenant terminée.
Donne-moi ma chance.
Excuse mes oies, excusez-moi. Mais c'est vrai, nos excuses. On avait oublié M. René 50 000 watts, le maître. Nous allons lui demander ce qu'il pense de notre Assemblée.
C'est fou.
Merci beaucoup, M. 50 000 watts. Vous êtes au courant. Bon, on peut terminer maintenant. Au revoir, tout le monde.
Avant de me dire adieu.
Mais oui, M. 50 000 watts, avez-vous un dernier mot à ajouter? Sans vous étatiser trop longtemps, cependant.
Québec, Québec, Québec.
Mais oui, vas-y, René, tout comme Muriel, en cœur.
Québec, Québec, Québec.
Hello, music fans everywhere, and welcome to the Scandals of 74, your friendly local radio show that reads questions about the president's current troubles sent in by music fans all over the country and answered musically by our famous talking jukebox. And now, here's our first one from Salt Lake City. When is it that the president makes all these horrible decisions that have our country in such a turmoil today? And from New York City, what did the special prosecutor tell Mr. Nixon his real problem was?
You cheating.
Bangor, Maine writes, how does the president feel about what the media is doing to him today? El Paso, what instructions does the president give his personal aides each morning?
Make the world go away.
From Dallas, if the president is impeached, what will he become?
King of the road.
From Seattle, how does the president sum up his present situation?
I've got a tiger by the tail.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin, what does the president have to say about all the election promises he failed to keep?
I never promised you a rose garden.
Butte, Montana, if the president resigns, how many right decisions would that make for him?
One in a row. One in a row.
Buffalo wants to know how Mr. Nixon feels about John Dean today.
Big bad John.
Pocatello writes in, what is the idea behind the president's stonewall delaying tactic?
If we make it through December.
Gila Bend, Arizona wants to know if the president has any friends left, who are they?
Bulldogs.
Las Vegas, in the early days of Watergate, what important question did Mr. Nixon ask John Dean?
Did you see what happened?
And John Mitchell.
Did you see what happened?
And Jeb Magruder.
Did you see what happened?
And John Dean's answer?
Yeah, I did.
And from Dallas, what are Martha Mitchell's thoughts about her husband at this time?
He thinks I still care.
How is the president coping with all this tremendous pressure?
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug.
From Rhode Island, what is the president's current opinion of himself?
When you're hot, you're hot.
Connecticut wants to know if John Mitchell has any comment.
Please help me, I'm falling.
Pennsylvania, what would the president like to say to the special prosecutor?
Please release
me, let me go.
From Little Rock, what did Jackie say when she saw President Nixon?
She said, hello, country bumpkin.
Nashville writes, Mr. Nixon has many influential friends. What is his attitude towards his best friend, B.B.?
Kiss an angel, good morning.
Connecticut, some say the president is stalling. What is he really doing about Watergate?
Making the best of a bad situation.
New York City, what is the president doing right now?
Holding things together.
From Miami, what is the president's planned approach to all of his problems?
One day at a time.
From New Orleans, what does Mr. Nixon expect of his attorney?
Help me make it through tonight.
St. Louis writes, I understand the president has taken to biting his nails. What does he say while doing this?
Bang me. Bang me.
Cleveland wants to know, what is Mrs. Nixon saying to herself about now?
Stop the world and let me off.
Chicago, what does the vice president have to say about Mr. Nixon?
Another man done gone.
Los Angeles writes, what was Mr. Nixon thinking when he sent his personal secretary to testify?
If I send a rose to you.
From Houston, what does his daughter Patricia have to say about the president?
They don't make them like my daddy anymore.
And from Richmond, Mr. Nixon recently left the country. What was the real reason behind his trip?
I'm on the run. The highway is my home.
From Tallahassee, just last night, the president summed up his true feelings in just three words. What were they?
Why me, Lord?
Thank you, Talking Jukebox, and good night, America, wherever you are.
Hill and Gully Rider, Hill and Gully,
D-A-Y-O.
Tastes good like a cigarette should.
Yes, friends, and remember,
I love their work. And sing this song.
Wildness is a pleasure. With
non-fattening,
high octane gasoline.
It's not tart, it's not sweet. What a wine, what a treat.
Yes, do as so many do.
Keep your doggy well and strong. Give him
a brand new brand of cigarette.
And now for our story.
Well, I'm loading the banana boats all night long.
Does your back ache? Are you just plain tired? What you need is
you brush your teeth with
floor wax. Makes your floors sparkle.
Yet tastes so good.
And now, back to our story.
Well, I sleep by sun and I work by moon.
Yes, friends, and here's the secret.
No sugar.
No, no.
No salt.
No, no.
Drink
motor oil, the finest for your car.
When you need a pickup,
drink it down.
When I get some money, gonna
smoke for real smoke.
That wonderful dog food.
And now we return you to our story.
Well, I'll pack up all my things and I'll
fly to Mexico nonstop in a giant four-engine
Hill and Gully Rider.
A real high flyer.
Hill and Gully Rider.
You need no special rinsing after you use it.
That's right. The new wash day soap is best for
lunch or dinner, for breakfast too.
Oh, then the bananas see the last of me.
And remember, friends, there are
21 kinds of
Deo, Deo.
Don't be half safe.
Be completely safe.
Bye, Deo, today, Earth people.
All right, you're probably wondering, have I taken leave of my little senses? Well, yeah, maybe I have. And if you've made it this far, you're either screaming in agony, please stop, please, please, I can't take anymore, I can't take anymore, please. Or maybe you're interested, in which case, stay tuned, there's more. These are break-ins. They're also called flying saucers. Something invented by Dickie Goodman way, way back when, in mid-50s, I guess. What happened was this, that, you know, while my computer was disconnected for the great reconstruction effort here, which is still underway, by the way, my wife allowed me to use her computer, but I had to only go to my email and YouTube. So on YouTube, I found a Dickie Goodman cut, and it's like, oh, cool. And, oh, look, there's another one. And look, there's another one. And, of course, all the YouTube pages have side references to other downloads, etc. And before you know it, I had 300 of these things. All right? So, all right. I know. But, so, it's actually a lot more interesting, I think, than it would seem. So, we started with something called Beatles Is Back from Lenore King and Tommy Anderson, whoever they are. I don't know a lot of these people, but I'm guessing there are a lot of homemade things, and I will proceed to illustrate that point in the second set. We heard the Bicentennial Blitz from Catman and Toenail, the First Black President from Jimmy Lynn and Don, a Dickie Goodman remix, Election 2012, a remix of one of his earlier ones, Two Different Questions, easy enough to do. Reaganomics was Dan the Man from 1982. Face the Issues, Richard Nixon was the delegates. Jeff Levine from 1974, The Interview. King and Barnes, A Leak at Watergate from 1973. The State of Quebec from Jacques Desrosiers, I think that's how you would say his name. The Talking Jukebox, Part 1 and 2 from Mitchell Torok, 1974. And a commercial break from Buchanan and Goodman, who I believe invented the whole thing. So we'll get back to them in a second. Just want to remind you that you don't have to stay if you don't want to, okay? If you want to leave now, it might be better off for you. So you have my permission to leave class early today and get on with your life. So, but otherwise, you're going to stay. I think you'll enjoy it. If not, hey, life ain't forever.
We are here at the command center talking with Cabinet Secretary Adano about the nuclear crisis. Mr. Adano, what advice would you give people who are afraid of the radiation?
Come on, baby, don't fear me.
Sir, how much radiation is harmful?
Too much of anything is not good for you, baby.
How do we know if it's not safe to go outside?
If the sky above you grows dark and full of clouds,
should we trust what the government is telling us?
Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. I don't tip the boat over.
Mr. Secretary, where do you get your information from?
You know I'm better than a magazine. No.
You've cut back on the briefings to the press. Why?
You can be murder at this hour of the day.
The Prime Minister has just arrived. Mr. Prime Minister, what should we be most worried about?
Staying alive.
What do you believe is the best solution?
I believe in miracles!
When you first heard the news about the nuclear plant, what was your reaction?
Baby, what a big surprise!
Sir, what do you say to all those who've come to Japan to help out?
Thank you for being a friend.
But many are leaving Japan. What do you say to them?
Baby, come back!
Prime Minister Khan, can you comment on all the aid the government is providing?
It's from me, it's for you, it's from you, it's from me, it's from the worldwide.
Mr. Khan, Mr. Khan! Sir, can Japan ever fully recover?
There ain't no doubt about it!
Do you think your handling of the crisis will hurt you politically?
I'll survive! I will survive! Hey, hey!
One more question, Mr. Prime Minister. What's your latest strategy?
Lately I'm a-praying.
Just arriving is Mr. Tepco, lead spokesman for the utility company. Mr. Tepco, why weren't you prepared for such a crisis?
I like to live, closing my eyes and feeling fine.
Can you explain the recent mistake made in radiation readings?
Couldn't get it right, couldn't get it right.
Sir, how much more time is needed to cool the reactors? Mr. Tepco, what kind of advice are you giving your workers at the site?
Shake your booty! Shake your booty! Oh.
This isn't the first time Tepco has made mistakes. In the past, how did you deal with them?
We used to laugh. We used to cry. We used to bow our heads then. Wonder why.
What's your opinion of alternative energy?
Johnny come lately. Kid in town.
Mr. Tepco, local fishermen want you shut down. What do you say to them?
I can't win.
Rumors are circulating that the government will take over TEPCO. Your response?
Don't give up on us, baby.
With us now on the line is a member of the Fukushima 50, those brave souls battling to cool the reactors up at the nuclear plant. Sir, how did the company prepare you for such a dangerous mission?
A kiss for luck and we're on our way.
How do you feel about being called a hero? By what route did you arrive at the plant?
Highway to hell!
Sir, why do you think you were selected to head this mission?
Nobody does it better.
Are things beginning to look any better up there?
With a little luck, we can help it out. We can make this whole damn thing work out.
Sir, the pressure is enormous. Have any of your brave men broken down from the stress?
Big boys don't cry. Big boys don't cry.
How long will you keep fighting?
We'll keep on fighting till the end.
Thank you, sir, and good luck. Let's close with some final comments. Mr. TEPCO, how long do you expect this crisis to last?
Nobody knows it. Nobody knows.
And finally, Secretary Adano, sir, honestly, is the radiation rising or decreasing?
Now it's fading away.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Stay tuned. We got non-stop hits here where the rock keeps rolling. And if you're the fifth caller, hey,
what are you doing?
We made a record. We want you to play it.
Listen, if you're not on the charts, there's nothing I can do for you.
Oh, yeah? Now watch this. What do you think of that, Mr. DJ?
You can't do this. I'm on the air.
Not anymore. We're taking over.
Lock him in the closet.
Hey, go to the balloon.
Why don't you just do
it? Hey, do you know how to work this stuff?
This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. Testing. 1, 2.
Hello?
Just be loose.
Huh?
Do you want to know a secret?
What the...
Do
what do you want?
Nothing.
Get out of here. Excuse me.
What's that?
At the dawn, the time will be.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Time for a golden all day.
We're gonna rock around 10 o'clock tonight.
Thank you. We interrupt this takeover for an update. The situation in Studio A continues tense. The group is in complete control. Let's join them now as they make known their demands.
I'm gonna be your number one.
This is the station manager. You kids, get down to me studio.
Na, 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 na.
You stop your broadcast this instant.
Na, 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 na.
Young lady, what is it you want?
Let me see.
What makes you think you can take over like this?
This is Susie's spaceship circling Radio Tower. Through the windows.
Yes, I can see them clearly now. On the 13th floor, armed with 45s, brutally attacking the top 40.
And I want God, another one God, another one finds a dozen.
This is John Streetmarker on the spot. Officer, is it true the group is high?
But they sold her on the 13th floor. That's to the men.
Giddy up.
Oh, I see they've freed the receptionist.
They'll fire up.
Can you describe the leader?
She's got Betty Davis eyes.
And meanwhile, back in Studio A, the police have rendered the group senseless with elevator music.
Going up. Gift. Leather. 13, hurry!
Is it raining in here? I feel worried.
There they are! Grab them!
Oh yeah, grab yourself.
Steady girl!
Steady girl!
Hey, you! It's too late, we played our record!
Make it on the road!
Holy cow!
Still in here.
I gotta go to
It's time for the Mad 40 Show, the show that's
dedicated to the songs I love.
Featuring the big top 40 records and
those oldies, the goodies.
And on the show today, we're going to be hearing from
Chris McCarron and the U.S. Bonds, and it's Pat, Bonnie, and Orbison.
But before we can continue any farther,
put a mouth in the diamond.
Of course, I'm
Mr. DJ.
So you be sure and stick around for the real swinging sound.
Don't go.
And getting things started, we kick it off with a fast record. Time now for the weather forecast. From up here in the weather tower,
it feels like raindrops.
Hey, it's dedication time. We're going to
dedicate a record.
The next song goes out to and it's a beautiful slow song. Hey, don't forget, I have a big record out for you every night this week.
On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night.
You know my policy.
Never.
How about the one we had
last night?
Because of that,
I couldn't sleep at all last night.
Right now, the time as we pay tribute to an outstanding young citizen. It's Salute the Teenager.
Hats off to Larry.
Just received a news bulletin. This is reporting.
I've got news for you.
Premier Gushev just told President Wennerty,
we ain't gonna do you much harm.
Next news.
Eventually.
Right now, it's jackpot question time, where you can win
just one thin dime, one-tenth of a dollar.
We're calling the home of Mrs. Hello, Mrs.
Hello to you, too.
Can you give me this hour's lucky number?
A one, a two, a one, two, three.
That's right. And now, the jackpot question.
Who put the bomb in the bomb?
I'm sorry, time's up. No hard feelings.
I'm so hurt.
We go now with a moldy oldie, a blast that'll always last. It's
a thing of the past.
Uh-oh, that's about all the time we have for the Mad 40 Show today. We'll let that oldie get a little moldier, and I'll play it tomorrow when once again I'll be
coming on back to you.
Right now, gotta make it.
I'm a traveling man.
Welcome, dear friends. This is Amanda Cohen, and with me today in the studio is my close personal friend, Weird Al Yankovic. Mind if I call you Al?
I don't care.
Okay, Al, can I get you anything? Maybe a hamburger? Oh, sorry, I forgot you're a vegetarian.
Don't want no part of that vegetarian scene.
Okay, a vegan. What do you do to stay so healthy?
Eat a lot of broccoli.
Well, that accounts for some of your sound effects. Let's see, Al. You're a musician, songwriter, lyricist, comedian, actor, producer, director.
And an architect.
Yes, but you're best known for your parodies. Now, if somebody won't give you permission for a parody, do you try to persuade them nicely?
I'd rather kick and jump and bite and scratch and scream until I'm blue.
Ooh, good thing most of them don't turn you down. How has all this success affected your ego? Now, Al, were you a geek growing up?
Dumb looking, scrawny little four-eyed freak.
Everyone knows you got your first big break on the Dr. Demento show. What did you say when he started playing My Bologna?
Start to wait a minute, you ain't heard nothing yet.
And you still thank the doctor on all your liner notes.
He's so great.
So, seen any good movies lately?
Twister!
Oh, well, actually, I was thinking of
the name of this movie.
Anyway, I've seen you in concert now 6 times.
Pretty obvious to me, can't get enough.
I know, but you have the greatest band in the world with Jim and Steve and Ruben and Bermuda. How come the shows sound so different from the albums?
We're just technologically impaired.
Now that you produce your own stuff, what is the secret to that unique Yankovic sound? So now everywhere you go, you get mobbed by fans. Does being famous have a bright side?
You can eat a bunch of sushi, then forget to leave a can.
Well, that would be good if you ate sushi.
Don't want no part of that vegetarian.
I know. Being a big entertainer must be such hard work. What's it like to deal with all those agents and lawyers and stuff?
They'll suck your brain out through a straw. You just can't trust those guys.
Is showbiz really that hard?
They sucked out my internal organs and they took some Polaroids and said I was a darn good sport.
Speaking of Polaroids, are you really naked on the cover of Off the Deep End?
I was only kidding, baby.
You look naked to me.
You're so gullible.
Come on, Al, give us the naked truth.
I guess we all knew that was coming.
Well, here's the hard part of the interview.
I like this part.
What are your plans for the future?
I want to crazy glue my head to the bottom of a big steel girder.
Really?
I'll stick my nostrils together with crazy glue.
Well, Al, we're just about out of time.
We've been together for so very long.
What advice do you have for up-and-coming musical comedians like yourself?
I'm watching you, so don't get funny.
Thanks for your time, Al. Just one more question. Can I borrow $5?
No.
Well, there you have it, dear friends. An interview with Weird Al Yankovic, the hardest working man in show business. My close personal friend here in the studio with me, Amanda Cohen. Until next time, have fun.
This is your on-the-spot reporter, Ken Steele, reporting live from the Junction Shopping Center in Sonora, California. Today's question is, what do you think of Justin and Marianne show on Star 92.7, KZSQ, Sonora?
Ain't that a shame?
Thank you. And your opinion, sir?
It's another day for you, the paradise.
Thank you. And what is your opinion? Well, thank you. Let's go to our other location.
This is John Cameron on the spot.
Thank you, John. And now for some more opinions.
Nobody does it better.
Thank you, ma'am. And how about you?
What a feeling.
Thank you. And how about you?
Wasted days and wasted nights.
How many people actually do listen to the Justin and Marianne show in the morning?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack. Jack, hit me again, dealer.
Oh, come on. Let's have something a little more realistic.
A, B. May I have another piece of paper, please? I will.
Is there some problem here?
I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
We're here at the studios of Star 92.7 KZSQ, speaking with the morning show hosts. Your name, please?
Justin.
And your lovely partner's name?
Marianne.
I don't think so. Let's try that again. What's her name?
All day, all night, Marianne.
Well, that's better. How did you happen upon the beautiful Sonora area?
Took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw.
There's a rumor that money was tight back in those days. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Cross the desert's bare man.
And now with your success in the area, how do you get around?
Jets!
It figures. Tell us a little bit about your education. Where did you graduate from?
The Anaheim Decision and Pickup Understanding Single Book Review and Timing Association.
I'm a little confused by the news department. First there was Eric Johnson, and then Bill Johnson. What gives?
Double vision.
Today, we're going to have the weather from KCRA 3 Weather Center before H. Randolph Holder. What's the weather like out there, guys?
Hot.
Uh-oh, Mrs. Holder's in the studio now. What do you think about all this?
That don't impress me much.
Mr. England has been the general manager of KZSQ, KKBN, and KVML radio stations for quite some time now. Do you have any words of praise for his longevity?
Hats off to Larry!
Now let's check in with Marianne. There may be a lot of people out there that are considering radio broadcasting as a career. What would be your number one tip for success?
Just breathe.
What are your plans for the rest of the day? The two of you seem to get along famously on the air. What's your secret? Okay, Justin. Marianne was slightly late one time last week. What was up with that?
She can't find her keys.
What do you fear most about your job?
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
Have you ever considered a profession other than broadcasting?
Oh, no!
Justin, what would you say if Marianne ever left the station?
She's not bad.
Well, we seem to have a special guest. What was your initial reaction to the Justin and Marianne show?
Trying to make some sense of it all. But I can see it makes no sense at all.
This is Ken Steele from Sonora, California.
And now we take you to our downtown reporter.
Yell around, Captain, I'll tell you a story.
John Nudley reporting from the corner of Cullen Square on today's big tragedy. And now we take you to our roving reporter, Jimmy Diddler, and a woman who claims to have seen the tragedy. Jimmy, tell us what the lady has to say. Thank you, Jimmy Diddler, and now back to our main studios.
Lady report on today's tragedy. Here's the vice president. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thousands of people are gathering in front of the White House. Millions are marching on Washington. We switch you again to the scene of the tragedy. Come in, John Knightley.
The chief of police has arrived. Chief, what are you going to do about this disaster?
Why's everybody always picking on me?
Chief, do you think we can stop this disaster?
Why, sure.
And now back to our studios.
We have just talked to the president's wife.
I'm a girl, and by me, that's only great.
Mrs. President, has your husband figured a solution?
N-O.
Another late report. Everybody's marching on Washington.
Oh, when the saints go marching in.
John Knightley here downtown. The fire chief feels this way about the tragedy. You're right. Look at this woman.
I cried a tear.
Now we take you to Washington.
Yes, the tragedy is over. Here's the man it happened to. Why did you do it?
I got a wife at home.
Sir, exactly what is the tragedy? Confess it to the world.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter anymore.
Will this court come to order? This is the case of the people against Henry Schwartz, who refuses to confess to the world what tragedy he has caused.
Does the defendant have anything to say?
Try me.
Mr. Schwartz, where were you on the night of the tragedy?
I was strolling through the park one night, and oh, I felt so blue.
Was there any person with you who can verify the fact?
A young cowboy named Billy Joe.
Wait a minute. Henry Schwartz's lawyer has just complained about one of the members of the jury. The lawyer doesn't think a woman juror can be trusted.
Trusting me enough.
Questioning of Henry Schwartz continues.
Mr. Schwartz, on the night of the tragedy, who were you with?
Oh, Donna. Oh, Donna.
And who else?
Oh, Plain Jane.
Just why were you with these two ladies? Just what did Donna have to say to you that evening?
Come on to my house, in my house. I'm gonna give you candy.
Did you go?
Yeah.
While you were going to the home of Donna, did the tragedy occur?
Yeah.
Just where did the tragedy take place?
Somewhere along the way.
The district attorney, Mr. Jim Sun, has grabbed the defendant and is hitting him with his fist and ordering that he confess the tragedy.
Mr. Sun.
The district attorney speaks.
How can you keep from telling this court what the tragedy is?
Come back.
The district attorney looks angry. He has just asked the judge to convict this man of contempt of court. Here's the judge.
It's just a matter of time.
There is silence in the courtroom. The judge is deciding the sentence for the defendant. Hey, wait a minute. There's a commotion in the back of the courtroom. Thousands of people have marched into the courtroom. They have Henry Schwartz on their shoulders. They have rescued him from the law. Henry is screaming with joy. Yes, it's all over. The people have decided. Henry Schwartz is innocent. He will never tell the world what the tragedy was. Oh, Henry, do you have any parting words? Is it true that you will never confess the tragedy?
By stars above, I swear that it's true.
My name is Joe Planet. My friends kid me by calling me... I'm a private eye. My office is located at
77 Sunset Strip.
I was sitting at my desk reading about the Whistler's escape from prison when the phone rang.
Hello, baby.
It was my wife, Alvina. I call her Alvin for short.
Okay, okay, I'll do it. Yeah, okay.
I wanted her to shut up, so I shouted,
Alvin. Alvin.
Alvin!
I got mad and hung up. As I sat there, I felt sorry I shouted at her. I got my hat.
I ran all the way home just to say I'm sorry.
While I was home, I heard weird whistling outside. My wife looked out the window and she said, "It's the whistler." He was still wearing his prison uniform.
Had
the whistler wanted me to find the guy who framed him for pulling a very small holdup. I asked, how small?
For a penny, for a penny.
In fact, he started to plead with me on his knees.
I don't like begging, but now I'm on bending knee.
I lied to him that I would help him if he returned to jail to finish his time, which was a small matter. He said, maybe to you, but to me,
it's just a matter of time.
I asked him the name of the guy who supposedly framed him.
Charlie Brown! Charlie Brown! He's a clown! I met Charlie Brown!
Suddenly, his face broke out into red spots. I said, it looks like measles. He answered, couldn't be.
Well, I've had it. Well, I've had it.
It was just a mild rash. I told him, I'm returning him to jail, and quickly put the cuffs on him. He yelled,
turn me loose, I say.
I got him back to prison. The warden was an old friend of mine whose wedding I couldn't attend because I was out of town. He growled at me,
where were you on our wedding? I got bad news that you went away.
He accused the whistler of being a troublemaker. The whistler cried,
why is everybody always picking on me?
He fell in line with the other prisoners, and as they marched off toward their cells, I heard them singing,
disco man, can't hold him down. Disco man, he can't hold him down. He can't hold him down.
We're here in Sherwood Forest with Robin Hood and his merry men. Hey, Robin, you've been away for quite a while. What have you been doing? But you've made quite a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
And now that you're back in Sherwood, what do you intend to do? I've just received word that the Sheriff of Nottingham and his men are attacking. Robin, can you take care of it? I've never ridden a horse before, but may I come along? Okay, Robin, all set. There they are now. I can hear their battle cry. Look, Robin, there's the Sheriff of Nottingham now. Or is that Eric Clapton? Shoot one of your arrows at him. Robin, you missed. What's the matter? You want some help? Go get him! All right, what'd you get, Robin?
Pow, bang, boom, nothing.
Nothing? No gold like in the old days?
Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no.
Robin, look, it's Maid Marian. She has a message for you. But wait, who's that with her? It's Eric Clapton, the Sheriff of Nottingham.
That's me in the corner.
Hey, Sheriff, where have you been hiding out? The Sheriff has a message for Maid Marian. Oh, forget the arrows, Robin. Go get him. Good luck, Robin. Thanks for the interview. Hey, where's my wallet? My watch is gone. Hey, come back, Robin. Hey, Robin, stop. Thief, I've been robbed.
May 1975, Stanley Cup playoff time in Philadelphia. The Flyers, National Hockey League champions, are ahead 2-0 in the second period of the final game of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Through the miracle of electronics, we take you to our reporter, Gene Earlhart, behind the Flyers bench.
Hey, Fred, Terry, Rick, you guys are murdering them!
Baby, you just ain't into nothing yet.
Go, Bernie, go!
Who's that? Oh, yeah, Wayne Stevenson. Hey, great job this year, especially those 3 wins in a row back in March. When you're the backup goalie, Wayne, what encouragement do you get from Bernie?
Hang on in there, baby.
Okay, but what if you don't play for a while? How do you let Coach Shiro know you want to play?
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Uh-oh, look out! Dave Schultz just smashed someone into the boards, and there go the fists hammering away. A left, a right, uh-oh, now everybody's squared up. Reminds me of the time...
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Okay, the linesmen have everybody separated. Let's go over to the penalty box and talk to the hammer. Hey, Dave, listen, buddy, haven't you gotten your fill of fighting yet?
I can't get enough.
So I've heard. Well, listen, tonight I noticed the linesman escorted you to the penalty box. What happened after yesterday's battle with Bobby Orr?
Bill walked me to my door last night.
Oh, that's right. You were playing right wing with Billy Barber. That's what you call teamwork. One other question, Dave. When you're playing out of town, that's not exactly applause that the hometown fans are raining down upon you. What's it sound like to you? I'd better get back to the bench. Thanks a lot, Dave. Hey, Mr. Clark, you're having your best year since joining the Flyers, and it looks like Philadelphia is going to win a second consecutive Stanley Cup. Are you nervous? Well, you've got a tough assignment out there on the ice. It makes me dizzy just thinking about it. I mean, when you're facing off and the linesman drops the puck, what goes through your head? Thanks a lot, Bobby. Ah, here come the Watson brothers off the ice. Hey, Joe, Jimmy's the only bachelor left on the Flyers. So, just between you and me, is there anybody he's interested in right now?
Jimmy loves Mary Ann.
She must really be something special.
She's one hell of a woman.
Well, there's the end of the second period. The Flyers ahead 2-0. Good job, fellas. Hey, Reggie Leach, a question before you go to the dressing room. This is your first year with the Flyers, and everyone is wondering how you and Mrs. Leach like Philadelphia. Okay, thanks a lot, Reg. Oh, hey, Fred Shiro, let me ask you a question before you join the team downstairs. Last year, you went to Russia to learn some of their hockey methods. Any plans for this year?
Will I never be to Spain?
But suppose they don't have any hockey teams there. Where will you go?
Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR.
Okay, thanks a lot, Fred. Oh, one other thing, Fred. What really goes on in the locker room between periods? Do you discuss strategy or what?
Oh, no. What goes on behind closed doors?
How true. Oh, excuse me. Hey, if it ain't Ed Snyder. Ed, as chairman of the board of the Flyers, what's been your secret weapon to ensure a second consecutive Stanley Cup championship for Philadelphia?
I got a freaky old lady named Kitty.
I'll have to agree. Kate Smith has got to be the Flyers' most potent win insurance. Well, thanks a lot, Ed. And as the teams come back out onto the ice, this is Gene Earlhart saying, let's go, Flyers. And from what I can see after tonight, Philadelphia Stanley Cup will be still around.
Still around.
Still around.
Once again, campus raiders have struck here at MU. Educators are in a great state of uproar. Here's Professor Simon Bottleneck. Sir, what's your reaction to this event?
Don't know what the country's coming to.
We have a co-ed here with us from North Campus. Miss, what defensive tactics are you using to hold off the onrushing males?
I wait with open arms.
Here now is the head of the lookout committee for the girls' dormitory. Mary, how come the fellas were so successful in launching their attack?
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing.
We now switch to the steps of the girls' dormitory on North Campus, where students are trying to break through the police barricade. Some of the co-eds are leaning out of the dorm windows. You can hear them hollering at one of the freshmen below. Here now is the student body president.
Don't bug me, I'm nutty.
One of the student raiders has been caught and apprehended.
Telling everybody I'm the one.
Young man, why did you raid North Campus?
They've got them pretty girls down there.
Did you think it would increase your popularity?
I'm gonna be a wheel someday. I'm gonna be somebody.
Do you have any parting words?
Like help.
We now switch to girls' dormitory.
Bang, take this crazy pad.
What are the students doing, young man? There's the young chap holding hands with his girl over in a dark corner.
Put your head on my shoulder.
There's a lingerie line at the end of the room. The co-ed is trying to break through.
That line falls on the right, babe.
We have with us the leader of this year's Great Campus Raid, Richard Rebel. Richard, did anyone else know of your plans?
The angels listened in.
Rebel is running away from the scene here, and he's chasing a co-ed across the campus.
There go my baby, moving on down the line.
He's finally caught up with her, and now they're kissing each other.
Never felt like this until I kissed you.
Here's the lovely heroine of the raid. Some of the fellas gathered below our microphones here are talking about her.
Sways with a wiggle when she walks.
And now Sally Sigma and her co-eds are chasing the fellas and football players off.
Come on,
amidst the confusion here at Old MU, a group of students are marching.
Marvin, 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 Marvin.
And they said it couldn't be done.
All right, we're back. Now, while the first set was kind of mostly political, there's a reason for that. Of all these 300 or so break-in recordings I could find, I have no doubt that there are many more. I just had to stop before, you know, brain damage set in. But about a quarter of those involved politics. Various interviews with presidents and other political figures and political hijinks, et cetera, et cetera. And in this set, we sort of tried to deal with non-political stuff. I thought some of the interesting, more interesting stuff. Now, I did pick these kind of at random. So if I do this again, we haven't used up the best. I use the word best guardedly, okay? So we started that one with Mr. Tepco, the musical newsflash. Of course, Mr. Tepco, the guy from the Japanese power company. That in response to the mayhem after the earthquake last year or 2 years ago. The takeover was Buchanan, Shannon, and Cater. I'm not sure who those guys are. Dave Harris, 1961, The Mad 40 Show. Amanda Cohen, 27 Questions for Weird Al Yankovic. Some I've wanted to ask him myself, but that's another story. The Justin and Marianne Show, apparently from the KSZQ Morning Show somewhere in California. Tragedy, Part 1 and 2 from Kelly and Me in 1958. The Whistler was Peter Goon. Again, I have no clue. And Whimsical Will, one of the modern-day proponents of this sort of shenanigans. You're familiar with him from the Dr. Demento show. That's from 1991, Hey Robin. And Cakewalk to the Cup from Banana Joe Montone, with a tip of the hat to the Chicago Blackhawks. And The Great Campus Raids from The Pledges in 1960. So these things were invented. Apparently, what I could dig up is they were, the first one of these was in 1956. I have no doubt there's probably one earlier. But it was the one that gave the genre its name, the Flying Saucer. And I'm going to have that for you right now. As far as I know, this was the first one. Bill Buchanan and Dickie Goodman, 1956, Flying Saucers, Part 1 and 2. Next week, we'll be back with something a little more normal. I won't do this again to you for a while. Maybe. Behave. I'll see you next week.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real.
Real the way I feel, what my heart can't conceal.
That was the Clatters recording. Too real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam. Would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land?
Get back in the air!
Thank you. And now the thin gentleman there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar. What would you do, sir?
Take a walk down the street.
Thank you. We return you now.
This is your culture space disc jockey with a request for Earth.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
That was the Pelican's outer space recording Earth. I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed. We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Sir Cedric Fentingmold of the British Institute. And the professor is approaching a saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you knocking. But you can't come in.
That was Laughing Lewis's record. Knocking.
This is John Cameron Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the words of the first spaceman ever to land on Earth. And now, here are the bowl scores.
4-3, 6-2, and 8-1.
The impact of seeing the first spaceman has this reporter reeling.
Here I go.
That was the Clatters again with their big one. Oh!
This is John Cameron Cameron again downtown. The spaceman has returned to his ship and is taking off. We return you now to our studios.
The flying saucer has gone. There is no threat of an invasion. However, the flying saucers are still around. We are not going to interrupt this record. Yes, we are. The flying saucer has landed again. Washington. The Secretary of Defense has just said...
Be that a shame.
That was Skinny Dynamo's record. That's a shame.
This is John Cameron Cameron Part 2. Gathered around me are several of the spacemen. Tell us, have you come to conquer the world?
Snap it, mirror.
And now would you repeat that in English?
Don't want the world to have and hold.
I want to kick a mark where you came from.
Don't be angry and drive me away.
We return you now to our studios.
Here is a news item from Washington. The president has just issued a statement to the spacemen, and we quote...
You can do anything for me, offer my blue suede shoes.
That was Pa Gherkin's record... Shoes. We switch you again downtown.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Professor Sir Cedric of the British Institute, tell us, how were the saucers able to land?
Well, you see...
The motor cooled down, the heat went down.
That was Huckleberry's recording, The Motor Cooled Down.
This is John Cameron Cameron again. I believe the spaceman has a final parting word.
See you later, alligator.
We return you now to our studios.
The spacemen have gone again, but look to the skies. The saucers will always be there.